the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I was thinking of a song, Count Your Many Blessings. Have you noticed that usually it's not the people who live the easy, good life that are the most thankful? Have you noticed? How many of you have been to a third world country where you were surprised how happy the people were with nothing? Anyone been there? Seen it? It took you off guard. How can they be so happy? They have nothing. It is amazing how people can have so much and be so unthankful. So expecting, so demanding. And I thought about using as the introduction, why don't we go around the room and give thanks for just things that God brought to our mind. And I think that would have been good, because right in our song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, it talks about thousands beside. Blessings, thousands beside. But then I would have been making you an illustration of either a good illustration, the problem in this church is we probably wouldn't stop for a while. Or you'd be a bad illustration. But I want you to think with me about this. That the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. We have so many blessings. But the blessings from God are the best. I read one author who said that there are, when it comes to the riches of this world, there's three vultures that eat at people. Isn't that a beautiful thought? One is the vulture of having to have more. And it eats at people, having to have more. And the second vulture that eats at people is, how do I keep what I have? And it eats at people. And the third vulture is the grief of having lost something in the world that you had. The vultures. And how God's people are given such wonderful gifts that don't eat at us. A salvation, free and final, fully paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. A presence of God that never leaves us nor forsakes us. It doesn't eat at us. It comforts us as he is the comforter. And I wanted to ask you, how far can you go in thanksgiving before you start running out? Before you start saying, I can't think of anything else. And when was the last time you got with God, just the two of you, and said, I want to thank the Lord for as many things as God brings to my mind. Lord, would you leave me now? And you thanked him until you ran out. 2 Kings 6. A wonderful passage. We were in this passage 2 weeks ago. And I really believe the Lord wanted me to go back. Not just because when I was here 2 weeks ago, I forgot some of my notes at home. But because the Lord gave me some light on the text, and I'm excited about it. Having to do with a clearer view of God's blessings. Now, 2 Kings chapter 6 is right after chapter 5, which is about the story of Naaman, the leper. And Naaman was the captain of the host of what country? Syria! Aha! So the Syrians are in chapter 6 and 7 as well. So when you come to chapter 6, you come down to verse number 13, and I'm going to just fill in the pronouns as we start at 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. And he, the king of Syria, said, go and spy where he, the man of God, Elisha, is, that I may send and fetch him, Elisha. And it was told him, the king of Syria, saying, behold, he, Elisha, is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. Who sent the horses and chariots and a great host? The king of Syria. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant, the man of God, Elisha's servant, said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed. And you see that Elisha prayed two separate prayers. One in verse 17, one in verse 18. We're in verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his servant's eyes, that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And here's a second prayer, and we'll come to that in just a moment. Father in heaven, I do ask tonight that you would help me, as I need your help, that you'd guide me and direct me as I try to teach and preach the truth of a clear view of your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Number one, I'd like you to see Elisha's prayer life. His prayer was for, number one, his servant to have a clearer view of God's blessing. His servant to have a clearer view of God's blessing. Now, the soldiers are all around, the soldiers of Syria. And frankly, the servant is spazzing. He is having a conniption fit. He is, he's losing it. How shall we do? And Elisha, what does he do? Does Elisha say, "Quick, grab your Bible. We need scripture. Quick, grab the scroll." No. He said, "Quick, let's fall to our knees and start confessing our sins. You confess your sins, I'll confess my sins. Fast. Fast. Hurry." No. Elisha, if you read the way it reads, it almost sounds like he just picks up with God where he left off. It really does. In this passage, if you read where it says at the end of verse 15, "And his servant said to him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." How did he know that? How did he know that? Well, then, and Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." It almost sounds like he's saying, "Lord, you and I have already talked about this. You've already shown me this. So, Lord, would you show him this now?" It's almost, I think that's important for Elisha's prayer life, that his prayer was for his servant to have a clearer view of God's blessing. And Elisha just picks up where he left off. "Lord, show him what you showed me." And I believe he and God spent a lot of time together. And God just naturally shared with Elisha what God's plans were. Can you think of someone else in the Bible that God said, "How shall I do this thing without also telling my servant?" Does that remind you of another story? Who? Abraham. When he was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboiim and the little city. Well, you remember that God also told Abraham. Well, God had told Elisha here. It almost sounds as though it's par for the course in Elisha's life. Have you ever heard someone pray, and you just sat back and said, "Lord, I want to walk with God like he does. I want to have a prayer life like that person has. Lord, I want to be closer to you." Well, this is a servant, and he doesn't see what Elisha sees. And Elisha just says, "Lord, you've already showed me. Would you show him?" And this is Elisha. What I want you to see is Elisha did not have to come into God's presence, because he was already in God's presence. He just turned to God and said, "Lord, you've already showed me. Would you show him now?" So Elisha's prayer life, "Lord, would you give him a clearer view of your blessings?" And I wonder if we don't have some servants of Elisha here today. I feel like that. Sometimes I don't see God's blessings very clearly. Sometimes I get caught up in life. I get caught up in horses and chariots and Syrians. And maybe someone needs to come and say, "Lord, would you just show Pastor Lang that there's more with us than with them?" Well, I'd like you, number two, to see Elisha's second prayer to give the Syrians a clearer view of God's blessing. Now, you might not agree with that when I say the Syrians a clearer view of God's blessing. But I think, if you'll follow me, I think it's true. The prayer Elisha prays was that the Syrians be what? Blinded. Let's read it. Verse 18. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people. Would you like Elisha to pray for you? Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he... Okay, now I want to ask you, who's he praying to? Okay, in the passage, yes, you're exactly correct. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote... Who smote them with blindness? Well, that's obvious. The Lord smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Now, here's what's going on. This is what I believe happened. You have Dothan set on a hill. You have Elisha sees the army coming and he goes out to meet them. He's walking down the hill. And he prays. This is my belief. OK, my belief. I can't prove that he walked down the hill. But if he says this isn't the city, I believe he was not in the city. OK, I don't believe Elisha's lying. I believe he walks toward them and, Lord, would you smite them with blindness? Boom. It's like Moldova. The lights went out. They're all blind. And he says, you're in the wrong place. I'll take you to the place and you'll see the person you want to talk to. Well, you want to fetch for your king. And so the story goes on. Let's read it. And the Bible says that verse number 20, and it came to pass when they were come into Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. That means they were in a place where now the Israelite army is all around this. If you read it carefully, when you come to the next story, you have the whole army of the king of Syria. This is part of his army. You can read that at the beginning of the story. This is a group of less organized, but still enough to compass the city. The Bible says roundabout. So it says, behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? I can almost picture King Joram going, let's kill him now. Let's kill him now. Can I get him? Can I go? Can I go? He asked the question twice. Can I smite him now? Can I smite him now? And you can tell he's kind of excited. And Elisha, well, let's go back. Elisha prays that the Syrians be blinded. And I want to ask you, is that a vindictive prayer? Actually, it was very merciful. You say, why would you say that, Pastor Lang? I would not consider being struck with blindness for even a temporary time a mercy. Okay. Well, a century later from this story, God sends the angel of the Lord, one who kills 185,000 of these guys. So, in this story, those guys are all around the Syrians. Do you get the point what God could have done? If one kills 185,000, and these guys are all around, these shining, fiery horses and chariots. So I believe this is a great mercy. It tells what God could have done. I think they got off easy being temporarily blind. And Elisha's praying for an immediate need. And I wanted you to think about the Syrians' blindness for a moment. At first, Elijah's servant, remember his servant? He sees just Syrian army and mountains. And the Syrian army can see the city of Dothan. Everyone can see, but the Syrians were made blind. Now, the servant could not see what Elisha could see. And then later in the story, the Syrians can't see what Elisha can see. And Elisha leads them to a place where they're surrounded by God's people. And God wanted them to see only after they were with God's people. Now, think closely, if you would. By the way, God still does that. God still tries to open the eyes of this world using his people. But Elisha's servant, was Elisha's servant blind? Well, not physically. But he couldn't see what God was doing. And we're not blind, but there's a lot of times when I just can't see what God's doing. Have you been there before? I'm not blind, but God, I cannot see. I don't understand what you're doing. And the servant, because he couldn't see what God was doing, was wringing his hands. His blood pressure's up. He's having ulcers. He's about to have a heart attack. His stomach's in knots. And so many times, God's people, we're just full of anxiety and jitters and ulcers. And why? Are we blind? No. We just don't have God's perspective. And I wonder, just by way of an aside, I wonder, do you see what God is doing in your life tonight? Do you see what God is doing in your life? If you could step back, my wife and I were looking at flooring. Flooring has all different types. And some flooring is purposefully rough. Sometimes flooring is purposefully distressed. You've seen them. And you can't just get up close and look. Sometimes you've got to stand back and look at it and go, oh, that's what it would look like across my whole living room or wherever you're putting in flooring. What if you were to step back and say to yourself tonight, what is God doing in my life? Why does God have me here? What is God trying to do in my life? I was thinking about missionary Tim Lewis. God had him here Sunday and God has him here Wednesday. And I asked myself, why does God have him here twice in a week? Maybe it's to impact our lives. God does nothing by accident. And he's brought you here tonight for a purpose. Let's go back. Elisha prayed for his servant that God would show him safety. But Elisha also prayed for the Syrians that God would show them their danger that they were in. I think that's important. See, the world has got to see the danger they're in. And it was an amazing mercy. Because, you see, the king wants to smite him. Kill him now! I've got him! I've got him! Yeah, they're contained and their eyes are open. But God wants them to see his power, that he can blind them and open their eyes. And his mercy, they're not going to die today. And his goodness. What do you do with them? Feed them dinner. Feed them dinner and let them go. So, by the way, I'm sure Elisha probably looked at the king Jehoram and said, kill them? We could have done that when they were blind. Been easy. But God wants their eyes open and to send them back home. It's almost like God is, in this story, he's opening a servant's eyes to the blessing of God's safety. And he's opening Syrian's eyes to God's power and his mercy and his goodness. May God open our eyes, too. May we consider God's been good to us, too. Now, I want to bring forward some objections. Now, sometimes when preachers preach, they think this, maybe someone will object to some. Okay, so let me bring my own objections. Number one, Pastor Lang, I've got problems and I've not seen any horses or chariots of fire. I've got lots of problems. I've got serious issues. You don't even, Pastor Lang, you have no idea. And I've not seen any chariots of fire coming to help me. Okay, here's my answer. Can someone tell me what the angels did? Someone tell me what the angels did in this story. They did nothing, is exactly right. They were just in the mountains. Now, that's important. Who was it that blinded the Syrians? I made a point of that. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord blinded the Syrians. I'm just saying that angels were up there in the mountains, and they were just there for Elisha and the servants' peace of mind. Because God was the one who did the fighting that day. And you see, God didn't even use the angels. God took care of Syrians all by God's own self. You know what? I don't see any angels, Pastor. Well, let me tell you this. If they're not there for you, it's okay. God doesn't need them. He doesn't need them. And the fact is, God will take care of you. You walk with God. So perhaps the prayer today is, God, would you help me like the servant? Would you open my eyes to your blessings of your protection and all the goodness of God? Or maybe it's like the Syrians. Lord, would you open my eyes to the mercy of God? First objection, I've got problems and I'm not seeing any horses or chariots of fire. God doesn't need them. And then last of all, Pastor Lang, I struggle to see blessings in my life. I remember times when I did have God's blessing, but I don't see many blessings right now. I understand that. Sometimes we go through seasons of harder and deeper waters. But I want to give you a mental picture. I would like you to picture the city of Dothan. It's very difficult. I've not been there. I've never seen a picture of Dothan. But I've read about it. Picture Dothan. Dothan is a city with walls. Elisha is inside the city. And the Syrians come and they surround them, the Bible says, round about. And so chariots of fire were up in the mountains. Picture that. But I want you to notice, did God say that the horses and chariots were surrounding Dothan? That's my question. Did God say in the Bible that the horses and chariots of fire were surrounding Dothan? No, they weren't. I mean, they were. Yeah, they were. They were around the city. But that was not what the point the Bible makes. Does the Bible say that the chariots and the horses were surrounding the Syrian army? It doesn't even say that. In fact, if you'll look at verse 17, at the end of the verse, it says, "And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Elisha. Which makes me wonder, what if Elisha did what I do sometimes? What if he woke up in the middle of the night? And he did something that I don't do. He went out for a midnight walk out of town. And he walked out of Dothan, out the gates and down the hill and took a walk. What would have happened to the angels? They would have all taken a walk too. In other words, what I'm saying is that God sent his fiery chariots and horses to surround who? Elisha. So the angels are there to protect God's man. By the way, that's why the Syrians were there, to get God's man. And so if he left, God's armed angelic guard would have been gone. The city would have been completely vulnerable. But I want to point out that getting closer to Elijah, there was a protection with it. The city was protected because Elisha was there. Now, we could take it the negative way as well. Achan. When Achan did wrong, his family probably knew what was being hid in the tent too. They were judged as well. But did you know who else was judged because of that? Not just Achan and his family. Who else? What's that? Yeah, the animals. That's true. That whole his everything he had. What else? The nation. In what way? That's right. 36 men died when they went into battle to the next battle of the city of Ai, and they were smitten. The Bible doesn't use the word smitten always for dead. So we don't know if they were injured, wounded in action, if they were prisoners of war, or they were all killed. We don't know. We can't tell that by the context of that story. They were smitten. I'm telling you, there were casualties because of Achan's sin. And in this story, there were blessings because of Elisha's presence. And you can argue with me, and I get it. You can say, well, if Elisha hadn't been there, that army wouldn't have come. Agreed. I'd rather have God's angelic presence guarding me with or without enemies. And here's an amazing thing, is that If you're the one who says, I struggle to see the blessings of God in my life, can I recommend some things to you? I would recommend, as we saw at first, stay in the presence of God. Remember Elisha? Stay in the presence of God. I would recommend also stay in the presence of godly people, and you'll enjoy the blessings of being around them. One of the great things about coming to church is you get to be around God's people. And there's a blessing in that. And you get to hear about what God's doing here and there in the missionary letter and also in other things from answered prayer. It's a great, it gives you more reason to rejoice. But I'll just end with this. It's good to be around someone like an Elisha, but wouldn't it be better to be like that person? Enjoy God's blessing, what God has for us. So may God help us not just to enter His presence, but to stay in His presence. And I believe if we do, we'll have a clearer view of the blessings of God. We'll have a clearer view of God's mercy. And we'll enjoy the presence of other people who enjoy God's blessing also. Now I want to ask you, just in closing, a few very simple questions. I wonder when the last time was you spent time alone, just you and God, and just said, Lord, I want to spend time you telling me, what do you want me to thank you for? And I want to ask you, who do you know that is an Elisha when it comes to Thanksgiving? They are a very thankful person. I'm not going to ask you who it is, but how many of you know someone like that, that they are just very thankful? They are God-focused. Would you slip a hand up in the air? You know someone like that? Isn't that wonderful to be around someone like that? Let's seek to people like that. Now, Elisha had a servant that was right with him, didn't he? But obviously they weren't seeing from the same lens. So walking with God, staying in His presence, and spending time with folks like that. I think that'll help us. May God give us a clearer view of His blessings. Because the blessing of the Lord, that maketh rich. And there's no sorrow with it. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for how you have laid on my heart tonight a simple story of how you opened the eyes of a servant to his divine protection. And you opened the eyes of Syrians to great mercy. And Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes to whether or not we are truly thankful people. And I pray you do that now. Maybe there's some tonight who'd say, I want a clearer view of God's blessing. And that's going to mean staying nearer my God to thee in His presence. Not just entering, but staying. When I talk to someone, picking right back up with the Lord where I left off. And I believe if I did that, I would be a more thankful person. How many would say that? That's my desire. It's that I would have that continual, abiding enjoyment of His presence where I just pick up where I left off. And I have a clear view of God's blessing. I wonder how many would say, you know what? I really desire to be a thankful person. I need to seek to be around the people who are like that. Maybe God brought someone to your mind who's thankful. It wouldn't be a bad thing to let them know today or tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day and say, you know what? The Lord reminded me of you and how you're a thankful person. And that's the kind of friends I want to have. I wanted you to know I appreciate you. It'd be a wonderful thing. How many would just say this? May God help me to stay close to the Elishas of thankfulness in my life. Just slip my hand up in the air. Lord, help me to choose who I'm close to. and spend time with people that will influence me for God. There's plenty of the other kind. Plenty of the other kind. Father in heaven, I thank you so much. We have so much to give thanks for. We're protected on every side. Safety is of the Lord. We don't even know how many times we've been protected, even this very day, from harm, from ill. Lord, we can't see the germ world. We don't know who was behind us in traffic that got slowed down a little bit, who was crazy. Lord, we don't know the ways that you protect us. May you help us to give special thanks as you open our eyes to the special blessings in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.